May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I referenced this story a little bit if you were at the conference at all this last week, but this is something else the Lord saw that really ministers to me, and that's that last statement. As Jesus is washing their feet, and when he comes to Peter, and Peter doesn't want him. He's offended at the fact that Jesus would wash his feet. And then Jesus says, what I do now, you don't understand, but later you will understand. And then he begins to explain some things to them. And what basically Jesus was saying to them about washing their feet is that he said, you're already clean, except for one of you, talking about Judas. In other words, you've already been bathed. In our language, you're already born again. But in this world, feet are going to get dirty. As you walk with me, you're going to get dirty feet. You're going to mess up sometimes. And when you do, it's important that you acknowledge your dirty feet because I'll cleanse you. I'll wash your feet. He says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. He didn't say didn't have any part in him. They were his. He just says, you can't know my fellowship if you accumulate dirty feet and don't confess your sins, so that I, who am faithful and just, can cleanse you of your sins, forgive your sins, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So he was just talking about continual fellowship and that you're going to get dirty feet from time to time. And when you do, don't be prideful and don't be humiliated. Just own your dirty feet and I will forgive you. I will wash your dirty feet. It may seem condescending for you to watch me get down and cleanse your feet, but there are going to be times in the future where you're going to think you don't deserve my forgiveness. And you're going to need my forgiveness. He said, you don't understand now, but later you will. Now, I would say this, that the first disciple to get it was John. As a matter of fact, he's the only one who got to tell this story this way. And I believe he got to tell the story because he had kind of earned the right to tell the story because he was the first one to later understand. If you remember, those of you CTKers, a little bit later in this story, as Jesus tells them that someone's going to betray him, and they're trying to figure out who it is, John is laying his head on the breast of Jesus. He's the only one who dared to get that close. As I mentioned this last week, I said that breast was open, and yet John was daring enough to press in. And he laid his head on the breast of Christ. He was laying his head on the breast of Christ, and the disciples were trying to figure out who Jesus was talking about that might betray him out of their own insecurity. Peter looked over at John and says, you ask him who he's talking about, because they already recognized that there was a special relationship that John had that was unique, this one who laid his head on the breast of Jesus. And what I believe, what we've taught for years, is this, is that Peter didn't just hear the heartbeat of this carpenter. He didn't just hear the heartbeat of a 33-year-old carpenter, didn't just feel his breath, but he heard the heartbeat of God. There was something that he encountered in that moment that changed his life forever. His nickname at this point was one of the Sons of Thunder. He was a very boisterous, bold, reckless person. But from this point forward, he's referred to and refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus is loving. And I believe that what he encountered there was the heartbeat of God's love for him. He may not have understood all the details, but he did comprehend something that was life-altering to him, that gave him his true identity as a disciple whom Jesus is loving. And that was the beginning of him understanding. Remember, Jesus said, what I'm doing to you, washing your feet when your feet get dirty, you don't understand, but later you will. And I believe this was the beginning of the understanding. Now, let me read this verse to you. This is from Mark chapter 14. This is at Gethsemane, and when the soldiers come, and they begin to take Jesus. And it says about the disciples, and they all left him and fled. We often think about Judas being the one who abandoned Jesus, but the truth is they all did. Judas was unique, but they all abandoned Jesus in light of his arrest, in light of the crucifixion. Peter denied him 3 times publicly. And yet, when we come to the cross, there's one disciple standing at the foot of the cross with all the women, and that's John. He's the only one. Now, John fled here. It says they all fled. John fled. The rest of them fled. But by the time the cross happened, John was back standing at the foot of the cross. And I believe it's because John was the first one to understand that in the process of fleeing in fear like the rest of them, at some point between then and the crucifixion that would happen hours later, I think John got it. The heartbeat of Jesus. He encountered the love of Christ in a profound way, the love of God. The washing of feet. I think John understood. Something I think the disciples didn't get. And here's what I think. I've always thought the disciples didn't come back to the cross because of fear. But I think maybe they didn't come back to the cross not just out of fear, but out of guilt. They all fled. Peter denied him 3 times. And even if their heart was pulling them to go stand with their Lord in his most critical moment, I don't think they felt like they had the right to do that. Only one did. And he fled too. And that was John. Because you see, I think John understood. When he heard the heartbeat of Christ, he thought about what Jesus had done, washing feet. He understood how far Jesus' love would take him to the cross. And he also understood that one who would go to that much trouble, who would give that much, of course he washes our feet. Of course he would forgive. He so loved that much, of course he would forgive. And he didn't have to let guilt and the shame of dirty feet, even the dirty feet of fleeing and betraying, to keep them from him. And where this is played out so beautifully is if from Luke chapter 5, so let me just read this to you because it's kind of tells the story a little bit better. In Luke chapter 5, just more evidence that John understood. When at the calling of some of the disciples, these fishermen were in a boat fishing, and they'd been fishing all night long, and they were professionals, they didn't catch anything. And Jesus, who wasn't a fisherman at all, comes to them and says, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Peter said, "Master, we worked all night long, caught nothing. But if you say to do it, we'll do it." And they did this. They put their nets down the right-hand side. They got a great quantity of fish. Their nets began to break. They were so filled. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, repeatedly saying, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which he had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, particularly, because Simon said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Do not fear. I'm not going anywhere. From now on, I'm going to make you a fisher of men." And they got to the land. They left everything to follow him. Now, Peter, of all the disciples, next to Judas, was the guiltiest in terms of denial. And he was supposed to be the leader. He didn't go to the cross. None of the other ones stood at the cross. Again, not just out of fear, I'm convinced out of guilt and shame. And when, in John chapter 21, after the crucifixion, everything seemingly sort of still kind of felt lost, even though Jesus had revealed himself to them, they weren't doing what they should have been doing. They were fishing. Because I think guilt kept them. And again, Peter was the leader. So Simon Peter says in verse 3, I'm going fishing. They said to him, then we'll come with you. And they went out and got in the boat and they caught nothing all night. When day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you not have any fish? They said, no. He said, well, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find a catch. They cast, therefore, and they were not able to haul it in. There were so many fish, just like when Peter was called. When Jesus said, don't be afraid. I know you're a sinful man, but I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And the disciple, therefore, whom Jesus was always loving, John, looks at Peter and says, it's the Lord. And Peter cast off his outer garment, jumped in the ocean, and swam to Jesus. Why was it John that said that? Because he understood. He'd probably been trying to tell Peter, Peter, remember the washing of feet? Remember? He went to the cross because he loved us. Remember what he said about washing our feet? He'll wash your feet. Your feet aren't too dirty. But when Jesus reenacted the very event at which Peter was called, Peter didn't get it. It took the one who understood how forgiving and merciful the love of God was to say, Peter, I told you, that's the Lord. He's washed your feet too. That's an important thing for us to understand. My prayer is I never get dirty feet again, but I'm going to tell you something, I will. And so will you. And what the enemy will tell you is you can't stand with him. You can't really know his presence. You can't really be used by him like you always wanted to because of what you've done. But what did Jesus tell Peter when he got on the shore? Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. The calling's not changed. And Peter finally understood. May God's Holy Spirit help us understand. It doesn't make sense. It's not fair. But don't let guilt and shame keep you from his presence and keep you from being used by him to do what you know he's called you to do. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.